Turn, if you will, in your Bibles this morning to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for your word. God, we just ask this morning that your Spirit move into this place, that you open up our hearts and our eyes of our understanding, that we might be enlightened this morning. God, that you will speak to each person according to their need in their life. And God, we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. In these two passages of scriptures, it's very simple. You see a division. You see a division of all mankind. There are those words that represent two gates. One is a narrow gate. One is entered by few. One is a broad gate. And one is very popular. Very few enter the narrow gate, the Bible says, and the broad gate is very popular, and many are those who enter the broad gate. Now, which one that you enter into will make an eternally different situation in your life, an eternal difference in your life? The Bible says, when Jesus saw mankind, he touched man, and he said, he made man in his image. He created man to have a relationship with God, and man chose to disobey God in the garden. He drove man out of the garden, and we have to make a choice. Are we going to live for Christ or live for the devil? Now, Jesus says there's two groups of men. One that enters the narrow gate, one that enters the broad gate. Many are going down the broad gate, he says. He didn't touch people by education. He didn't look at people by the color or their nationality. He divided people on a spiritual standard. We are either in the few or in the many. It matters not your nationality, but it matters whether you're in the few or the many. Now, as we look at these two groups of people, we see that those who have rejected our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, are the many. The many are those who have never been born again. They have never come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That word many implies they are a majority of people in this group. Now, according to the population clock, we have reached 7 billion people. And it's growing as I speak. 7 billion, 17,475,000 and growing as of the day that I prepared this message. And if you look at the world clock, it's just continuing to grow by the thousands. The tragedy is today that over 6.5 billion people are unsaved. They do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, among these millions of people that do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we find they put their lives in the pleasures of sin, and they follow after the sinful things in the world. In the Word of God, in Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3, Paul writes these words. Paul says, they walk according to the course of this world. The people without Jesus Christ are walking according to the prince of the air, the old devil, Satan himself. Satan does not like you. Satan does not want you to go to heaven. He wants to take you to the place called hell. And he will do anything he can to get you there. In the United States, over $10 billion is spent on adult entertainment. $128 billion on alcohol and drinks. Our society today is marked by indulgence, sensuality, and immorality. You see it on the streets. You see it in our country on television. You see it in just about everywhere you go today. You see people indulging themselves in this thing called sin. They're fulfilling the desires, the Bible says, of the flesh. They're dominated by the things of the flesh in their life. Now the crowd in this many, I can't help but think that the crowd in this many are not immoral people altogether. There's some decent people in this crowd of the many. They're not all fixed their eyes on sin. They're not all in the pleasure craze. There are many people in this group that have entered in by the broad gate who are honest people. They wouldn't steal from you. They wouldn't cheat you. They're honest people. Many of them are moral people. They wouldn't do things indecent. They're really nice, good people. Some even the finest people you ever met would be hardworking, good neighbors, great citizens. But this crowd of the majority is deceived. They are deceived people. In this crowd, you will find religious people. I say religious people. We were talking this morning, Brother Lou and I, about people who think that religion is going to get you into heaven. He was telling me about, what's the girl that died this morning? Whitney Houston. She died. Someone said, well, you know, she sang beautiful religious songs and now she's in heaven as an angel singing songs. Well, that's the world view. Worldview views that everybody, no matter how you live, you're ultimately going to end up in heaven. But they're deceived, the Bible says. Religious people end up in hell. Religious people that have never been born again. Matthew 7, 21 is a very eye-opening verse. It's up on the screen. It says, not everyone who says to me, listen to that. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that tells me religious people are going to be lost. Amen? That tells me that some people that go to church every Sunday and sit in a pew and listen to the Word of God sung or preached, not everyone is going to heaven. That tells me that not every person who lives a decent life, not every person who is an outstanding citizen, not every person who is a good neighbor will enter the kingdom of heaven. Lord, Lord, they said. Listen to what he says. Only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Folks, let me ask you a question. If I was sitting here this morning and I was listening to this message, I would say, where am I? Am I in the many or am I in the few? Am I doing the will of the Father? Do I have a personal relationship with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Can you answer that as a positive? I read somewhere that there's 34,000 separate religious groups in the world. 34,000 separate religious groups. And I can say with confidence that many within this 34,000 religious groups are not saved. You understand that? Being a religious group does not mean that one day you will die and go to heaven. They said, Lord, Lord, haven't we done this? Haven't we done that in your name? And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. Those who have received Christ are the ones that are in the few. It speaks of being saved as very few. In some estimate, they estimate about in the population of 7 billion people that there's probably 2.1 billion people that are Christians. Now, let me say this, and I hope it doesn't make you too mad at me, but being a Baptist does not save you. I want you to understand that. Having your name on the Gun Barrel City First Baptist Church roll will not save you. You may be one of the many who get to heaven one day, stand before God and say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done this? And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. That ought to be eye-opening. Out of this 2.1 billion people that they say in the world that are Christians, we have the Catholics listed. We have the Jehovah's Witnesses listed. We have the Mormons listed. And other groups. Now, folks, I would not call all of these Christians in the truest sense of the word. Just like Baptists, there's going to be a lot of them miss heaven's door. I imagine the true Christian in the United States and the world would probably number in the millions instead of the billions. For the Bible says, few. Jesus referred to them as few. And he spoke to them as a minority. Now, we understand that only God knows the true amount who are going to be saved. But we do know, according to the Word of God, many are the ones that going down to Broadway that will be lost, and few are the ones that he says will be saved. Few being saved compared to the many that are unsaved. I want to just say thank God. Back when I was in about 20-something years old, he saved my soul. I was one of the many going down the broad road of destruction. I was one of the many who had been raised in a church. I was one of the many that had filled all kinds of offices in the church. You see, I'd been going to church ever since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, folks. Man, I'd been in church ever since I couldn't even touch the piano, the pedals when I started playing the piano. I was so little and short. If anybody had a right to go to heaven, you'd have thought it was me. Or I'd have thought it was me. But one night in a message at First Eastside Baptist Church in Rusk, I heard a preacher stand up there and talk about getting saved and getting her life right and going to heaven. Heaven wasn't a place for just people who call themselves religious. It was a place for those who had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit had been dealing with my heart. I had people fooled. You see? Nobody knew I was lost. Everybody in that church thought I was saved. Man, I was feeling good. I had everybody fooled. I had everybody fooled but Jesus Christ. And His Spirit touched my heart and said, listen, you're going to be one of the many who walk into destruction, and you're going to say, Lord, Lord, haven't I done this? Haven't I done that? And He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And the only thing that really mattered to me at that time was getting my life right with Jesus Christ. And I said, yes, Lord, I realize you died for me. I realize I need a Savior. I realize I'm a sinner, and I want to come to you. I came to Jesus Christ that night. I gave my life to Jesus Christ that night. And now He put me on in that narrow gate. I am one of the few. Praise God, I know that now. I don't have to be ashamed. I don't have nothing to hide anymore. I can shout it from the mountaintop. Praise God, I've been born again. Folks, is that your life? You may be like I was, hiding in the church, lost in the church. Inside your heart, there's no assurance. Inside your life, there's no assurance. Well, friends, let me tell you something. People tell me all the time, well, I don't know if you're going to go to heaven or not. You don't know that. I know it. I've got assurance in my life. And if you don't have that same kind of assurance, friends, I would get out here and get on my knees before God, and I would stay there until I got that assurance. When you get the assurance that you need, you can go face death knowing that you're just going home with God. Oh, let me say this now. Thank God for the grace that is sufficient to meet every need that we have in Christ Jesus. And I want to say thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. See, you see a division of mankind. He says there's many and then there's few. He also says here there's a decision of all mankind. Not only are there two crowds of people, the many and few, but there's two courses in which we take. The words enter ye in verse 13. Enter ye calls for a decision on our part, folks. You've got to decide this morning. Am I going to go into the broad gate? Or am I going to enter ye in at the narrow gate? Oh, the broad gates, everybody's traveling it. Don't you want to be a big part of the crowd, the devil might say? You see, a lot of people want to enter in that broad gate because it's an easy gate. It's wide open. The many are going that way. But Jesus says, you want to go in at the narrow gate. You see, the broad way is easy. Now, just about every town, except where I grew up, has a broad street. It's a wide street. The world has its broad street. The world says it's easy to travel the broad street. Many are traveling that road to Jesus. I get tickled at all these people I watch on television, all the football players, the hunting shows, the fishing shows. I watch a lot of hunting fishing shows. But sports, man, I see these athletes, they stand up there and they'll say, praise God, Jesus is the way. And then the next thing you know, they're taking His name in vain. You know, that's the world's way. Oh, yeah, he prays. He's on his knees praying. They get together and huddle and pray. They're all going to go to heaven. Not every one of them is going to go to heaven. I'm not saying there's not good athletes out there, Christian athletes. There are. But not all of them are going to heaven just because they get in a huddle to pray. Just like you coming to church, not all of you here this morning are going to heaven because you came and sit in a pew. And listen, you've got to make a decision before you leave here. Did you know that? It's a decision to either choose the broad way or the narrow way, the easy way or the hard way. You've got to make that decision. I can't make it for you. You've got to make that decision. Jesus says it's wide that easy. It's open to all. Preacher, I just don't like any restrictions in my life. God puts too many restrictions on my life. Well, go ahead and travel it broad way. It's an easy way. There's not a whole lot of restrictions. You can do what you want to. Go out there and live for the devil if you want to. That's what the Broadway does. That's what the world says. Just live for the devil. Religious, atheist, Man, they're both traveling down this way, and the world says, it doesn't matter. We're all going to end up the same place. Not me. Not according to the Word of God. But, you know, people say to me, well, I don't believe the Word of God. Well, I say, you got a real big problem then. One day you're going to stand before God, and you're going to believe it. For the Bible says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. Some people say, well, I just don't believe the Bible is very accurate. Well, it's the most accurate thing I've ever read. It fit my life to a T. And if you get to reading it, it'll fit your life to a T. It'll tell you where you don't you go wrong. It'll tell you how to live. Man, if people just read the Bible, it'll solve a lot of their problems. Let me tell you what the world, Proverbs 14:12. You know what that verse says? There is a way that seems right to a man. That's the broad way. It seems right, preacher. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's going down that road. Nowadays, young people tell me, you know, well, it's even on the, it's not young people, but the news say today more people are just living together. That's the world's way today. You don't have to get married, just live together with, you know, live in sin. That's what they tell you. You don't have to get married. Kids, y'all don't have to get married. Just go out and live together. See if you really like that guy before you marry. That's what the world tells you. But God says that is sin. You go ahead and live that way if you want to, but you're breaking God's commandments. And when you break God's commandments, you're going to pay the consequences. You see, the world don't tell you the consequences. I'll tell you what the consequences of a life in the world. It ends in a way of death. You die. A physical death. Yeah, it's going to kill you. I liked to hear Whitney Houston sing. She had a great voice. But let me tell you, she went the way of the world. That's what drugs do. All the world says, just try them. Just try. That's what drugs do. 48 years old, what a shame. What a waste. What a waste of a life that God had given her. But you know what? Some of you are wasting yours too. And if you don't change your direction, you don't change your life, you don't get serious with God, you may end up the same way. You don't have to go down that road to end up in that condition. Young people, you know, back in our day, you know, fast cars, Budweiser, you know, I got a good friend who's out there in the cemetery now because he hit a bridge at 100 miles an hour. Wasted his life for just a big high experience. It's not worth it. That way is death. The world says, oh, go ahead and have all the fun you want. You've got plenty of time. Well, tell that to him. He was only 20. You tell his mother and daddy he had plenty of time. They lost their son at 20. You see, it's serious, isn't it? But the way of the world, not only is it physical death, man, you're pushing the envelope. You're going to die. It'll catch up with you. The Bible says, you know, the wages of sin is death. Not only is it physical death many times, but the more than that, it's spiritual death. A separation from God for all eternity. And folks, we need to get serious about that. My way, Jesus says, is the right way. The road is narrow. Yeah, it is restricted. All you have to do is follow God's word. It's restricted. But you know what? I haven't found it too restrictive because I've enjoyed life, as a Christian, a lot more than I did when I was living in sin. You know, in sin, I always felt guilty. In sin, I always, sin brings you down. It drags you down. You know what? It drags your body down. I can look at some friends of mine that chose the way of sin. And let me tell you something. I'm not too good looking, but I don't look near as bad as they do physically. Physically, they're crippled. Physically, they've had their stomachs, some of them removed, their intestines removed because alcohol just ruined their life. Physically, they're alcoholics. So you see, it tears you down physically. Sin leads you down, but it also tears you down spiritually. Now, it's the way of the majority in the world, the easy way. But let me tell you something, there is an eternal way. Look at verse 14 in our scripture. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. Oh man, the eternal way, Jesus says, the narrow way leads to life. It has restrictions. It has requirements. But I'm sure glad God gave them to me. Because if he didn't, my life would be a wreck. Is your life a wreck? It's the eternal way to salvation, folks. On the broad way, there are many opinions. The broad way says, okay, you just do good, be religious, and you'll make it. We're all God's children. God loves everybody. On the narrow way, Jesus says that's not true. He said, I am the only way of salvation. Look at John 14:6. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. How? Except through me. There's not many ways to heaven, folks. Don't listen to that. That's a lie of the devil. Jesus says there's only one way. I don't care what TV says. I don't care what those modern-day TV preachers tell you. They're lying to you. Jesus says the only way is through the Father. You see? Look at Acts 4:12. Acts 4:12 says, nor is there salvation in any other. What does that mean? You won't find it by being good. You won't find it by going to church. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That's found in the Bible. It's not me telling you. It's found in God's Word. It's God telling you. There's no other way to get to heaven. Look at John 10:9. Jesus says, I am the door. He's the gate and the door to salvation. Someone has described the gate of salvation as a turnstile. You know where you walk through, like you're getting into Six Flags or something? You can enter it just one person at a time. You come to that gate, you've got to decide to enter it. You can't say, Mama, would you enter it for me? You can't say, Daddy, would you enter it for me? No, it's a personal decision. You must enter that gate by yourself. It's a personal decision to step through. Man, I tell you what, I had one of the most godly mothers and daddies. Daddy's gone to be with the Lord now, and mother, I still love her, and she's still a godly lady. If I could have got to heaven through my daddy, or I'd have got there. Because he was a song director in church and a deacon in church and made me go to church. You know, he didn't say, Booney, do you want to go to church? He just said, get out of bed, we're going to church. And I better not catch you still laying there when I come back. Folks, but religion didn't get me there. Playing the piano didn't get me there. I had to make that decision when it come right down to it on that Friday night. I said, Lord, I want you as my Lord and Savior. And I got out and I walked through that turnstile. I came down through that narrow way and I said, Jesus, I need you as my Lord and Savior. And folks, he came into my life that night. Now that's the decision all mankind faces. What are you going to choose this morning? You going to choose the wide gate or the narrow gate? The choice is up to you. I can't choose it for you. You going to try to impress your friends, young people at school? Live in that Broadway for a while? I'll make my decision later. A lot of them never do. Later never came. I can't tell you of all the funerals I've had for young people. Oh, it's sad. Because they got on the broad road that was popular. And God took them home. God took their life. Enter is in the aorist imperative tense. It speaks of a specific and definite action. It says you must make a decision to go in that gate, and you must make it by yourself. I can't make it for you, or your family can't make it for you. Now, that's the division of all mankind. There's many and there's few. And the decision is by all mankind. You'll enter the narrow gate or the wide gate. Now, let's look at the destination of all mankind and we'll close. Two crowds, two choices, and two consequences. The broad way leads to destruction. The narrow way leads to life. The broad way leads to a ruined life. The broad way speaks of a loss, a ruined loss, a spiritual ruin in a person's life, in an eternity without God. Over in Luke, the 16th chapter, you'll find a story of the rich man and Lazarus. The Bible said Lazarus set out of the gate of the rich man begging for the crumbs off his table while the dogs licked his sores. And then upon a day, the Bible says Lazarus died and the angels came and carried him and placed him in Abraham's bosom. He didn't get there because he was poor. He got there because he had placed his faith in Christ somewhere along that line. He made a decision. Oh, he was poor. He didn't have a whole lot of blessings while he was down here, did he? Dogs licking his sores outside the gate, sitting in ashes. Doesn't sound like a really great life. But this life is short. Let me tell you something. It's short. Getting shorter all the time for me. But he's in eternity, the Bible says, in Abraham's bosom. And he'll be there for the eternity. The rich man died, the Bible says, and they buried him. And then the next words are, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. I wouldn't want to be there, would you? I'd rather be safe at home in Abraham's bosom. I'd rather suffer a little while down here than for an eternity. He's out there crying out still to this day, oh, if somebody would just come and dip their finger in some water and put it on my tongue to cool my thirst. I'm in torment. Let me tell you something. He's still crying today. And he'll still be crying all eternity. Somebody tell my brothers about this awful place. God says, your brothers will have to make the same decision on the words that they hear from the prophets. They wouldn't believe somebody even if they come back from the dead. The broad way that leads to hell, or the narrow way, a redeemed life, in verse 14. It says, leadeth unto life. What kind of life is Jesus talking about? Well, John 3:15 simply says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. eternal life. John 10, 28 says, "And I give unto them eternal life." Man, that's really living. Eternal life. This may be straight. This gate may be narrow. But the destination is eternal life. Broad is the way that leads to hell. Narrow is the way that leads to heaven. Now, let me ask you something. There's really no choice at all, is there? Not to me. I wouldn't pick the Broadway for $1 million. Because it ain't going to do you any good. You know? There's no choice. When I think of heaven, when I think of hell, the difference in the two, you'd have to be crazy to choose hell. You're saying, "Well, preacher, I'm not crazy." Well, choose heaven then. Because if you don't, you've just chosen hell. There's no in between. There's no second chance. That's a lie of the devil. You better believe the Word of God. Don't believe me. Look in the Word of God. It doesn't say of a second chance anywhere. What are you going to choose this morning? You've got to make a choice. And some of you are sitting there thinking, "Well, I'll do it some other day." No. Listen, if you're visiting with us and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you don't have to join this church. But join the family of God. Don't leave here lost without Christ. You might be killed out there on the road. I've seen that happen. Then what you going to do? I'll tell you, without Christ, you're going to hell. You don't have to go there. And when you get to heaven, he said, "Come on in. I know you. You gave your heart and life to me. Would you come this morning? We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing a verse of invitation. You need to make a decision. You come down here, and you get on your knees before God, and you make that decision for God or the devil." There's no choice when you think of heaven and hell. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for these that have come. Lord, it's a decision that we all must make. And Lord, I pray that we'll choose heaven this morning. Lord, that we'll give you our life, that you might be glorified in our life. Lord, that we might serve you, that we might know the joy of the abundant life that you want to give us. For the Bible says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.